God's Word and His Spirit is all we need to lead us through life, as we hear from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
There isn't a teacher on television or anywhere that is better than the Holy Spirit, who can speak to you 24 hours a day and teach you. If you're a week old in the Lord, or if you're weak in the Lord, or you're 60 years in the Lord, He knows how to talk to you. So trust your personal relationship with the Lord. When God sets you in front of a pastor you can trust, you're going to grow like a weed and be a blessing to that church.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
We continue our new series from the book of Revelation as we hear part two of our message, this letter to the church at Ephesus. God's word admonishes us to count the cost of our thoughts, our actions, and our speech. Your plan may be terrific, but God's will be even better. Listen to Him. What you think, say, and do will more likely bring about the desired results if you wait and let Christ speak and work through you. Let's open our Bibles now to Revelation chapter 2 as Mike resumes our study.
There's something special that God's going to do for each of you. I have no clue. I see some glimmers. Pastor Jerry and I have talked about when the weather gets a little better. We've talked about this whole neighborhood. We've talked about your parks and different things I've seen the Lord do in different parts of the world. But to be able to see you be used in a special way will be a great joy for me. And to be a part of it, like a daddy or a granddad, and see the kids get out and play in the street, it's going to be a blessing. But the Lord's going to use you in tremendous ways. And don't doubt it. If you want to be used, He'll use you. He's had me in front of terrorists, negotiating for Americans to be released out of the Middle East. He's had me in front of ISIS, helping the girls that were slaves, sex slaves to ISIS. He's had me at the White House, in and out, many times. Places that I should never be. Negotiating with the Kremlin for Christians to be released from Siberia. On and on and on. Things that I'm always amazed. But I think one of the differences, and pastors say, how do you get to do all that? And I can think of, there's a pastor within 50 miles of here. It's getting close to heaven, and he's a friend, and his wife has called my wife every morning at 7 o'clock to pray with her for over 30 years. Another pastor calls at 7:30 every morning, over 30 years, pray with my wife. Now, my friend is, quote-unquote, dying, and I contacted a large group of pastors that have been blessed by this pastor. They're all too busy, but I ask Holland, would you go with me to Pastor So-and-so's house? And he showed up with his guitar. And it was like a five-hour drive, maybe, both ways, I guess, for you. Maybe six, traffic, probably a dozen. And the point is, if you're too busy, when the Lord gives you an open door, do you think He's going to call on you again? And after you turn Him down two times, three times, a dozen times, do you think 20 years from now He's going to say, I already know how she thinks or he thinks? But if you're willing to be stretched, He'll stretch you. And you'll be blown away when you see the fruit. Are you with me? Okay. So get your notebooks out. Take notes. Write the things which you've seen, which are, which you will see take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Okay, that's settled that for you. The seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Okay, that's settled that for you. You can move on in context. Now, the great thing to know is that these are three-dimensional. Could be, and more likely are, more three-dimensional. But every commentary I've looked at or I look at it, I can see, but God's got so much beyond us. But it's basically, he's writing to the church of Ephesus that is happening then. But he's also writing to church all over the country, all over the world, all over centuries that have these same problems. And he's also talking about the church, the great church of the Lord, the church that's in heaven and the churches on earth. So you want revelation to be used in your life to expand your thinking. Not that you have to say, oh, I'm going to jump into that. No, figure it out yourself with the Lord, not with a teacher. But let the idea come to you, Lord, help me think differently with his guidance, that you don't get led astray and start getting into weird doctrine because something sounds tantalizing. There isn't a teacher on television or anywhere that is better than the Holy Spirit who can speak to you 24 hours a day and teach you. If you're a week old in the Lord, or if you're weak in the Lord, or you're 60 years in the Lord, he knows how to talk to you. So trust your personal relationship with the Lord. And when God sets you in front of a pastor you can trust, you're going to grow like a weed and be a blessing to that church. So, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, I know these things, he said in verse 2, I know. Isn't that interesting? His very first words are, I know. Do you forget that? That he knows everything you're doing? Everything you're thinking? Imagining, fantasizing about? Looking at, reading, listening to? Who you're with? Don't ever forget, I know. He knows everything about us. Amen. He knows where we are right now. That's easy to figure out. I mean, if you can get a GPS or Apple tag and put it in your back pocket, he can follow you on his iPad. No, he's much bigger than that. That's just archaic. That's 1600 technology to him. So don't ever forget, I know who you are and I know what you're doing and I know what you're thinking and I know you have a smile on the face on the outside nodding your head, but inside you're a rebel and you have to become one with him, not a third, because you're a three-dimensional creature. Your body, a soul, and a spirit. And most of the people we pass by are two-dimensional. They're a body and a soul. You have a third dimension. You're the aliens on the planet, and you're driving a UFO. You're not flying one. You're different. But if you stay like them, you're not going to go anywhere. You don't get higher than them or better than them. You get humbler than them so you can be a servant to them. And too many church people think that well, I can't do that. No. Ooh. Sheesh. I know. His first words to the church, I know. And then I had never paid much attention to that before. On your behalf, he showed that to me. And then the word year. I started thinking, what about the words that you think would be important for this group of people? The second word I found to be interesting that I hadn't noticed before, he says, your. I know your works, your labor, your patience. And he goes on listing those things. But I hadn't thought about this before. Is he talking about to the church, I know your pastor? I'm talking to the pastor of the church? What? I've always said, no, he's talking to the people in the church. But this is dangerous, having been a pastor for 40-some years, is that you get in a place where you never want to be better than the people, but people want to pat you on the back, and a good number equal to or larger. They want to stab you in the back. Some will stab you in the front. But the things they say, they think you never hear, but a little bird took everything to the kings, the proverb says. So be careful what you say, for it'll end up a little bird taking it to him in his bedroom. My point being this, if you isolate the pastor, you're not going to get truth. The pastor needs your love as much as anybody in your life. And it's so important you remember at dinner or lunch or breakfast or some time of the day or before you go to sleep to pray for your pastor. So when he said, I know you're, and he gives us this list, is he saying to the angel, I know you're? Well, angels, if this is true, it dawned on me then they have the same emotions we have. And they're almost human then. They have patience. Well, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. They have labored for Jesus. They have works that they've done. They hate evil people. They can discern false people and false prophets. They can persevere. But then I looked at that and I thought, well, hold it then. If he's talking to the church, that is more likely. That the church as a group, and so when you see these things that he says, you can see to this church, you could go historically in thinking, well, this is how that church was in the first century. But I think it's more than that. It's how you and I are right now. And it's very important. In all seven of these letters, these are probably like radar for a traffic cop. Whew, he went by kind of fast. I was in Arizona this week speaking, and I was really tired. It's a 13-hour drive back and forth, and so I was close to the speed limit. And it's desert for 2 hours, and you go over mountains. It's desert for another two, and you go over mountains, and it's desert for another two, and you start getting to where you're going. And people are flying at 100 miles an hour. I wasn't anywhere near there, but I learned a lesson. I saw in my rearview mirror a car coming up way behind me. Couple miles, and then the next time I looked, they were right behind me. They were flying. So I pulled over into the next lane, and they just kept going. I looked what I was going, they're doing 80, they're doing 85, they've got to be doing 90, they're doing more than 95. Whoa! And then I saw this little dark gray sedan pull behind him and start going just as fast. And I said, well, maybe I should go that fast. However, the little dark sedan lit up all the lights in the front of his car, the side of his car, the back of the car, and pulled that speedster over. It was a plain clothes car, if there's such a thing. And then I found out, in Arizona, they have Camaros, special race-trained drivers that are state police officers that in their Camaros wait for the other Camaros and Mustangs to come through and the Lamborghinis, and they have fun chasing them. So the Lord knows what we're doing. We're not going to get away with anything. Now he wants to talk to these people as a church and as individuals that make the church up. These things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the guys that are in charge, who walks in the midst of the seven churches, the golden lampstands. I know your works, but you know we're saved by faith, by grace. Not of any works, lest we boast. So they're a busy church. They're busy, busy, busy. There's some busy churches that are so busy, nobody can go to everything they do. And I think this is interesting. I know your works. Secondly, your labor, which probably is good, that you're laboring to do things and build things and make things. Your patience. I think you really appreciate that. I know your patience. Didn't say lack of patience, but I wonder if that's what he means, that you don't have any patience. I'm, by nature, worldly nature, an impatient person. I want it to happen right now. I want to get the pain over with. I like to just, let's do it. And he knows your patience if it's spiritual patience. That you cannot, and here's the patience, I think, bear those who are evil. This is important. How much do we bear the evil people? Now, a fornicator in the church, he said, you're not even to have lunch with or eat with. I don't speak of those that are out in the world, or you would never have anybody to talk to. He knows who they are, but he has a higher expectation for who we are. And so we need to be patient with the people that are, quote unquote, out there that are evil, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Evil is evil. And we have to draw a line. I heard a guy on the radio today, driving here, that was talking about a Christian singer. You've probably all heard her name. She has a big ranch. She's married to a famous celebrity, country western singer. And her niece is a lesbian. And she came to her and ask her, Auntie, could we use your ranch to have my wife's girlfriend our wedding here? And it really blew up around the country, I guess. And I listened, and I just was thinking of all the Bible verses. How much do we bear as Christians? And a group were saying, well, we've got to love everybody. But then it dawned on me, in chapter 1 of Romans, it says, they know the evil that they do, and denying that, knowing the judgment that is coming, they continue in it. Oh, wow. And they despise God. And they got another person got talking about, well, love. You know, you love somebody. But then it dawned on me, in counseling, I found that many times people spell love as L-U-S-T. And they lose sight if it's a boy or a girl. It's just plain old lust. And you get your feelings from whatever person or whatever's touching you, I guess. But we have to really know that fine line. If it's evil and God says it's evil, then we say it's evil. And after about an hour and a half of listening to this man this afternoon, I almost blasted him, but I thought, what? And then he said, if this happened to me, I'd say, niece, no. I love you, but no. My house is a house of prayer. My house belongs to the Holy Spirit, and I cannot endorse the lifestyle, but I love you. And I thought, okay, balance. And so it's not us, it's His Word tells us how He thinks about issues. That's why you need to get to know the Word. Because sometimes you have to finesse being an ambassador for Christ, sitting with people that are way above your pay grade, and you want to win them to Christ and not push them from Jesus. But you don't want to compromise. Amen. Ever. So He knows they have patience. They cannot bear those that are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles. Ah, that's good. I like that. There are a lot of guys around the country today who say they're apostles. They say they are apostles or they're prophets. Big shots in the body of Christ. Yes, I'm Bishop so-and-so. You are? I can get the so-and-so part, but I don't get the bishop part. Where did you get that? Well, our denomination, we have bishops. And just the way it's said and how they carry themselves. I'm sorry. If I were on the streets, you would not relate to me at all. I'm in the church, and you still don't relate to me. So I think He's given them some pats on the back here. Discernment seems to be well. And I want all of you to always discern, forget the title, and see who they really are. You have enough smarts in you to know a real person. You've tested those who say they're apostles. They're not. And you found them to be liars. Wow, they're supposed to be spiritual leaders. They're liars. And then verse 3. You've persevered. Now this is an encouragement to all of you because we come from a background where we didn't persevere, and it's why we got ourselves in trouble. We run. We walk away. We turn our back. We get away from the uncomfortable. We don't want any hassles. No, as a Christian, we have to persevere and stand for the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, He's almost done of telling them what He knows. And you've persevered, you've had patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and you've not become weary. It's easy to become weary, but the Bible says weary not in well-doing. It's easy to work long hours for the Lord. Those of you that are across the highway on the ranch, I imagine that you work some long hours with your shovels in the back where all those animals are, and the fences, and just, you know, bales of hay or whatever. Long hours to fix, to repair, Bible study, service, times of ministry to one another. And don't grow weary in well-doing. So there's what He knows, that by bringing it out in the open, they can work with it. And this is the wonderful thing, if you never had a dad or a mom that you could talk to. It's all stuffed inside. And if you can just get it out before the Lord, you'll be healed. If you have issues with your mom and your dad, the Bible says to honor them. That's it. Doesn't tell you to hold grudges. My dad was 7'10". He had biceps that were 33 inches around and forearms that were 40. This guy was so huge, and he could drink a bottle of whiskey in 2 minutes flat. And he could punch me or anybody he wanted anytime he wanted and slap my mom around and the other brothers, throw him up against the wall. And I was going to kill him. My whole life, I'm going to get this monster and I'm going to kill him. And when they put me in at 2 or 3 years old into a foster home, I became so bitter and a fighter, right? 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And then I met my dad. And I was preaching in Portland, Oregon in the basketball arena at the Coliseum. And I went to see him. I hadn't seen him maybe one time when I was 9 or 10. Well, I saw him at 16. I actually went to beat him up badly. I banged on the door of his house. His sister came to the door. Who are you? I said, I'm your nephew. Who are you? I'm Mike McIntosh. I want to see my dad. He's got the flu. He can't be bothered. No, you'll get him in or I'm jumping through right now. So he comes downstairs. He's standing at the door. My plan was I grab him through, rip the screen out, grab him around the neck, pull him upside down, and just pound him. The giant is there, and I know I've got to have my big shoes with the platforms on them, so I'm standing taller, you know, and I've got to have a puffed-up jacket and look like I'm bigger than him. And so I'm standing there in my ego, I'm just going to kill this guy. I'm all these years being kicked out of apartments, having no food, blah, blah, blah. And he comes to the door, and I said, I can't beat this little guy. He's a little drunk. He's a nobody. And nothing. Huh. I said, I want you to open your wallet and give me all the money you have. We need to pay rent. I want you to write 3 months worth of child support, and or I'm going to hurt you. He did all that. But then I went back when I was in Portland as a Christian and invited him to come to the arena. Do you know, with those 7,500 people in there, he ended up, and how, I don't know, in the same role of my mother that he divorced in 1940-something. They ended up side by side in that arena. And then my communist brother ends up in the same role. And then my wife's cousin, like a football star from Idaho, ends up in the same role. And I see them all sitting there. I said, Jesus, you're too much. You're just too much. Anyhow, I came back 1980, 10 years later. And he said, I'm moving to an apartment. I've got cancer, and you're the only one of the boys I trust. And I want you to sell my house, and divide it 4 ways. And I trust you. I led him to the Lord. He was 82 years old. 82. Then I came back the year later. I said, we're going to pray again. He says, okay, let's do. I said, well, make sure you're going to heaven. He prayed the second time a year later, 83. And then he died. Before he died, I was on my way to Norway, and just going to the airport. I couldn't hear a word he was saying. And a stepbrother was on the phone in Portland with him. And he called me when I got back from Norway and said, Dad was saying yes to everything you were saying about Jesus. And he was saying that he will see me in heaven and that he wants you to forgive him. Okay, that's pretty easy. My point being this is that there are some people here that have hurt hearts with their mommies and their daddies, and rightfully so, but they're just people. They're not 7'19". They don't have bigger arms than you. You could probably hurt them, but it's not worth it. You're to honor them, even in their weakness, and watch what God does for you.
The clock has caught up to us once again, so we'll hear the balance of this study from Revelation chapter 2 on the Tuesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio with Mike McIntosh and his message, This Letter to the Church at Ephesus. Sometimes we need to wait on the Lord, and as we wait on God, He always hears our cry, and He will always answer our prayers. Be patient. His love and kindness will preserve us. Though the enemy seeks to destroy our soul, the Lord is our deliverer. As we close our broadcast for today, I would like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we covered your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us your chapter and verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's chapter and verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Join us next time as we continue our new series through Revelation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.